The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerate.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776 if you wish to get in. You can also get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real. At the producer, Nick. Always a pleasure to work with Nick Sherrara. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You missed the first hour. A lot of good stuff. And we got a lot more good stuff coming for hour number two. But we have some breaking news. AJ, how trustworthy is Brett Okamoto when it comes to UFC?
Pretty up there, as long as it's the actual account.
Yeah, it is. It's the check mark.
Okay.
Okamoto ESPN. Breaking. UFC 249 has been canceled.
Oh,
all UFC events postponed indefinitely due to COVID-19. Dana White says he was ready to promote the event, but things were taken out of his control. Much, much more to come on this. That sounds like what we were talking about yesterday, where California was going to step in.
Yeah. I saw a Dianne Feinstein, who's a U.S. senator, said, "At best, this event ties up medical resources and sends a message that shelter-in-place orders can be flouted. At worst, participants and support staff could carry the virus back to their home communities and increase the spread. I call on the Ultimate Fighting Championship and the Tachi Yokut tribe to consider this event and delay it until a later date or reconsider this event. We have to be responsible and mindful of all state, local, and federal public health guidelines. Going ahead with this event is not the right move." So the Senate was against it as well.
Well, that's California. You kind of knew that was coming. Maybe you should have done it in North Dakota or someplace. I mean, you know. But you saw Rose had already withdrawn because she's had two deaths in the family related to coronavirus.
Yeah, and people were giving her crap about it. It's like, dude, you guys are out of your mind. Fight fans are, I mean, MMA fans are really, really lowest common denominator people most of the time. It's really unfortunate that they're like, oh, she's scared. Pull out. Another pull out by Rose. It's like, dude, like you may want to recognize the situation here. That's before I even knew that she had two deaths in her family. I didn't know that, but I was still like, I don't blame anyone for not wanting to fight in this. I mean, who knows what kind of training camp they've had? Who knows what their health is like? I wouldn't have faulted anyone, and people were like giving her grief. Yeah, I'm not upset that this thing is canceled. And I mean, would I have loved to watch it? Sure. Do I think it was in the best interest of the UFC and the fighters to put it on? I do not. So it was. I'm sure it was a tough decision, especially after Dana did all his blustering and, you know, telling people he was going to put it on no matter what. It's sometimes easier said than done, and it looks like not going to happen. So, I don't even know if to say if that's unfortunate. You know, it's probably just the smart thing to do.
Well, it is, and it's kind of like we talked about earlier in the week. It's how I feel about horse racing. It's like I love that I have something to play and watch. I really don't think they should be doing it, and you know, if somebody were to step in and say, "Hey, this is it," I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
Of course, while they haven't done it yet, I'm going to keep betting them. But still, but I kind of felt the same way about this. I would have liked to have watched some fights, but I really felt uncomfortable about the whole thing. And I guess I'm relieved that it got taken out of their hands. How's that?
Yeah.
All right. So I promised you some win totals. I have the win totals for the top six college football teams for 2020, again, assuming they actually play a full schedule.
And let's face it, the odds of that happening at this point, not exactly great.
No. But So I'm going to give you the six teams and then give you the win total, and you match the team to the win total. How's that sound?
Okay. I could probably handle that.
I bet you can do that. Okay, so Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, obviously, right?
Right.
Your other three are Florida, Georgia, and Oklahoma.
Florida, huh? Okay. I'm writing these down. Clemson, Alabama,
Ohio State,
Florida, Georgia, Oklahoma.
Not necessarily in that order, but that's your six teams.
Okay.
All right. Of that six, which team is the over-under total 10?
Ooh. Okay, so I'm trying to now picture, because I know it's not Clemson, because Clemson will be higher than that.
Okay.
So I'm trying to go out of order here. I'll guess that sounds like a Florida number.
That is indeed a Florida number. And actually, you get 3-for-1. That's also a Georgia and Oklahoma number.
Okay. All right. So now we're at Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma left, right?
Clemson
or
Ohio
State mean.
Alabama.
Okay.
So I'll now let you see if you can guess the total on those three, knowing they're over 10.
Are they all different, or are there two of them that are the same?
They are all different. So,
okay. Then that means there's a 10.5, an 11, and 11.5 would be my best guess. Okay. I will go Ohio State 10.5, Alabama 11, Clemson 11.5.
You got Clemson correct. The other two were backwards. Alabama was the 10.5, Ohio State was the 11.
Okay. Pretty close. So,
yeah. I mean, I figured you would nail that. That's one of those games you're good at. But, there you go. Yeah, somebody mentioned people gave Roman Reigns crap, too. Unbelievable.
He
was sick, right?
I don't know if he was sick, but I know, that tag team match that I got confused about, one of the wrestlers was sick. I mean, so if any of them were sick, it's like, dude, no, don't do it.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, and wrestling guy can correct me, I think he had some kind of health issues that had him really concerned about being exposed. And you know what? Who's going to blame a guy for that?
Not me.
Alfredo said they did the right thing calling it off. I mean, who TF is even having a productive fight camp right now?
I can't imagine anybody's having, an ideal fight camp, certainly.
Well, and this is something that's going to start applying to everything because one of our freelancers had a pretty good interview with Daniel Fells on Sports Map today, if you want to go check it out. And he's in Arizona and can't go to the gym. So, there'll be a lot of players who have their own home gym and they'll be able to keep up. But think about how many guys, how far behind they might get because they're sitting around for 3 months. And, they may be running or stuff like that, but if you're not lifting and you're a football player, that's going to put you behind.
Right.
And so you don't know how ready guys are going to be for anything when they come back. Baseball especially, you got to build those arms back up for pitchers. I mean, yeah. So 832, 2 weeks into homeschooling, and I'm realizing this kid may be a dumb. How young is too young to eject on a college fund?
Yeah.
As my dad used to say to me,
sorry. Save it for some sort of trade school.
My dad used to say to me whenever I would bring home bad grades, the world needs ditch diggers too, son.
That's right.
Yeah, Alfredo said he had leukemia. He was at high risk. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that, and people are mad about that?
That's ridiculous.
I mean, goodness gracious, I get you want to see him. I mean, I get all that. You want to see all these sports, but man, there's more important things that we need to get going before we have sports again.
Oh, like really what, is. Fred?
Like being able to actually go to a restaurant and sit down, to actually be able to have all these places open for things that, I mean, right now we can get what we need, but, I mean, we need to get the courts open again for obvious reasons. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going to be more important than sports, and, yes, sports is important. We all love it, but all these leagues that are trying so hard to put themselves in a position where, okay, we'll be ready here, we'll be ready here. I mean, that's great, but, there's no reason to rush this stuff back because that those big crowds are, I mean, hell. I mean, they're saying that Mardi Gras was just basically a petri dish for it.
Yeah.
I mean, so it just, until we know that this isn't going to come back, then we shouldn't even really be thinking about when sports is going to come back. But I think I said this yesterday. There's a lot of people who cover these things. That's all they have. And they're worried about their jobs. So of course, they're going to report anytime they see that, oh, baseball could be back in May. Okay, good luck. You know, put them all on lockdown. Yeah, until the first star player says, you know what, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't want to participate. In which, guess what? And then people will get mad at him. But he's not wrong. You know, if you're Justin Verlander, do you really want to find yourself in the middle of, you know, 2,000 people for these games? And
not particularly thrilled about it, no.
No, I mean, and then people would get mad, oh, you got to help the team, you got to help the team. No, man, I mean, I don't want this stuff spreading. And, you know, maybe by the end of April, it'll all be fine. I mean, I think that's optimistic, and I'm trying to be optimistic. But, you know, I don't think it's realistic. I mean, I honestly didn't think it would be this long. I kind of thought 2 weeks we'd be fine, and then 2 days into that, you're like, oh, boy.
Right.
And then a weekend, you're like, oh, boy. So, 713-780-3776. Somebody asked, did y'all watch Barry's live chat with Lance last night? Pretty hilarious from St. Patrick. I did not. I was watching a show called Polar Bear Town on Smithsonian.
Oh, makes sense.
You know what? It's sort of a documentary about this town in Manitoba, where every year 1,000 polar bears go through it when they're done. And they hibernate in the summer because they're polar bears. And they go there and wait for the ice to freeze so they can eat seals. So, like, tens of thousands of people go up there to see polar bears every year. And it's just kind of fascinating. They follow around these polar bear guides. And they obviously have trackers on a couple of the bears that they, you know, specifically are following. And I don't know if I'm just bored out of my mind, but I found it fascinating. So I'm like 2 episodes in. I don't know how many there are. It can't be that good for that long. But, you know, it was interesting enough to watch. Free for trial sure. On Smithsonian Channel.
The Smithsonian Channel? I haven't even heard of it.
I hadn't either, but I heard of the show and we kind of looked it up. And, you know, the wife was interested because it's Canadian. But I think it's pretty cool just... You know, some really nice shots of polar bears, which, yeah, I didn't realize that, you know, like a lot of times a male will eat a cub because they have to have so much fat stored up for when they hibernate that if they don't have enough, because they have this long ass journey when they wake up. And it just, you know, I'm always interested in bears and polar bears in particular.
All right.
So anyway, if you're looking for something, boring, there you go. So, all right. We're going to take a quick break. A lot more stuff to get to when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And just a reminder, if you want to sign up for the charity tournament on Saturday, go to sportsmap.com. There's a story on how to do it. Just follow the instructions and you'll be fine. And I'm hoping before the end of the show to get final confirmation on one of the people I've reached out to that you might be familiar with who's going to play. I just haven't got the money from him yet. As soon as I do, I will tell you who it is.
So, okay. I guess I need to go and get my cash in.
Yeah, I've Yeah, he's got to send it to me through a different thing, so I'm waiting to do mine so we can do them both at the same time.
Gotcha.
But he emailed me this morning, and we went back and forth, so I think he's in, but until he's signed up, I'm not going to tease it. Hockley Dan asked, Fred, were you the lone guy to show up at that ZZ Top concert back when they were first touring? That was a little before my time. I'm not that old, but the closest thing to that I ever took part in, old school people will remember Cardi's. Cardi's was a big time rock club back when I was, 17, 18, 19. And we went there to see Rat, and the opening act was a band called Zebra, which actually they were like a Led Zeppelin sounding band. They were really good out of New Orleans. And they had a couple of hits, like Who's Behind the Door. But we went there, and we got there early, and we actually had a few drinks with the guys from Zebra, because there was nobody else in there. And so when their show started, it was the five of us who'd driven up there together, and that was it. And I felt so bad for those guys. And then by the end, a bunch of people came in, but they were just coming in early to see Rat. And then I would say about a month later, one of their songs became a really big hit, and they were actually a headliner the next time they came, but they didn't have beer with us that time. So,
well,
yeah,
the rock and roll stories, Fred, you've got one of them.
Yeah, I've got a few. I've got a few. Can I just ask everybody, one more time, for those of you who can, and those of you who are still buying things and please support our sponsors right now if you can, because these guys are what's keeping us on the air. And I talked to John Clay Wolf this week about selling him my Camaro. So if you've got a car to sell, any of these guys that you hear, obviously Lawyer Dave, who you've heard, and TGS and Carbach and Dr. Linville, all of these things, if you need your pest control done, call Scott McGrath. But if you can and you still need these things done, please support them, because they're supporting us. And it's really important right now that we take care of those guys, because they're the reason you get us for free. So,
do you see that David Carr is trending?
No.
David Carr tweeted, first Bleacher Report Gridiron tweeted that Jameis staying poised in the pocket, and it's showing him in a workout where he's keeping his feet moving, and he's, he's got the ball he's looking downfield, and there's a guy throwing a punching bag, like a big heavy punching bag, like one of the top heavy water filled ones, at his head, and like swinging it back and forth, and Jameis is ducking and getting out of the way of it and trying to keep his feet moving, keep his eyes downfield the whole time. And David Carr quote tweeted it and said, "Stop paying your friends to train you. Stop. Get some help. I've been in a lot of collapsing pockets, and never once did I have defenders just flying at my head." Well, that opened up the internet to respond to David Carr. And no one said nice things to David Carr. Not really one person. There's a lot of David Carr slander on here. But it even turns into, dude, he's literally better than your brother who plays scared. Lots of he's better than your brothers, which respectfully, I'll disagree on that one. I would rather have Derek Carr than Jameis Winston. But
yeah,
a lot of people, chill, David. You know nothing about evading an NFL-level pass rush. You basically got sacked out of the league. I'd listen to David on this. The man was sacked 137,000 times. He's seen every kind of sack. Funny he wants to hate on a player that clearly has had a more successful career than he ever did. You were sacked almost 80 times in one season. You should have worked on your evading drills. So lots of hate. Oh, imagine being one of the biggest busts in recent memory and roasting a quarterback trying to get better. So maybe not the best look there for old David Carr.
No, and I mean, I don't think he was one of the biggest busts in NFL history. I mean, He was a disappointment, yeah, but they also he also got killed because of what they put around him. But why are you even commenting on that? I mean, you know, the guy's obviously trying to work out, trying to get a job, and, you know, if that's kind of a cool thing he tweeted out, why are you even commenting at all? I don't understand.
Yeah, I think David Carr at this point is like he's a football analyst. I think that's basically what he does is he talks about football on television now. So maybe that's his plan. I don't know. But
so he's trying to become Max Kellerman, you're telling me.
I guess. I don't know. And yeah. I'll admit the drill looks ridiculous. Okay? It does look absurd. But it might not have. And had Tom Brady come out with this message and said, "Hey, Jameis, this is a bad call," or a retired person like Peyton Manning had said, yeah, "This isn't effective." I don't think the internet kills Peyton Manning, but because it's David Carr, who did not have exactly what you'd call a successful NFL career, he's catching a little extra heat.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like maybe. But you know what? Guess what? You're talking about him, so he accomplished what he wanted. I mean, he's obviously looking for attention, and he got it. What? You know what the weirdest one, that the weirdest drill that I used to see the Rockets do back in the day with their guards? They would have a guy stand on the basket with a broom trying to block their shots to get them to shoot them higher. It was kind of cool, but it was... it was one of those things where you're looking at it going, man, this seems silly. And then you watch it, and you're like, oh, hey. But, okay, 225, taking more sacks than Jenna Jameson. I don't know what that means, sir.
Oh, I know what that means.
2-1 says, at least you didn't call him a turd. There's that.
That's true.
And 713 says, David is at home drinking like the rest of us. Probably
well,
true.
Maybe so.
Yeah. So, ESPN. Daniel tweeted, "Jeez, yeah, the Ito guy. That's who I'm going to look like." I don't know that. I don't know that I want to get into the whole which guy would beat which guy yet in a fight thing. I mean, I brought up the Batman thing as people are really bored, and a lot of people are trying to throw out some other ones. I'm like, I don't know that we're at that point yet. Which fictional character would be which fictional character? I don't want to get there yet. You know, maybe someday, because we're going to be here for a while, I think. So, music's playing. Fine. Well, let's take a break. I'll get to the story on the other side. Didn't you have another one you wanted to get to? We got kind of pushed back because of the UFC thing.
I got a few things we can get into.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this.
ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Hope you guys are having a good Thursday on lockdown, just like every other day. And, yeah, I know you had some stuff you wanted to get to. I feel like I'm ball hogging too much because... you know, usually when we're in studio, it's easier, but, you know, when you're doing this 30 miles away from each other, it's like, maybe I'm talking too much.
No, so, you've been doing good. And, I mean, you gave me some time to talk to UFC. You gave me some time to talk David Carr. You're not ball hogging necessarily. I think we're doing all right.
Okay. Just want to make sure, you know, I'm trying to do the best show we can.
All good,
under the
man.
Circumstances. So, and you know, I'm trying to involve as much from our listeners as possible and just keep the machine rolling the way it always does. So, what do you want to get to?
I know this is a topic that under normal circumstances we would go, ugh. Did you see that a whopping 88% of FBS athletic directors wanted an expanded college football playoff?
I did not see that.
Yeah, of the athletic directors who favor an expanded playoff, so of that 88%, 72% of them buy into the 8-team model. 66% of the AD said the highest ranked non-power 5 team should receive an auto bid to an expanded playoff. That's a surprisingly large number, honestly.
Well, are these ADs or coaches?
These are athletic directors.
Well, it makes sense, right? Because anything that gets more of them in, that gets them bonuses, that makes them look good. I mean, I would be less surprised if it were coaches, but, you know, that's that's self-preservation, right? I'm sure that every NFL coach was in favor of the expanded playoff.
Yeah. This and was the, it said 72% prefer an 8-team model. 11% want either 12 or 16 teams. 5% want 6 teams. And only 12% want the playoff to remain at 4 teams. I imagine that 12% is basically like Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State.
Yeah, the guys who make it every year.
The guys who are there every year.
Yeah, but even if you're Georgia, you're probably wanting 8 because,
yeah,
you know, even though you get there, that increases your chances. So
it says the breakdown between the Power 5 ADs and non-Power 5 ADs was actually pretty similar. 69% of Power 5 ADs want 8 teams compared to 75% of non-Power 5s. 7% of Power 5 ADs want 12 or 16 compared to 11% of non-Power 5 ADs. The biggest difference was a greater number of Power 5 ADs want it to remain at 4, while only 9% of non-Power 5 ADs prefer the current format. So, obviously, the non-Power 5 teams wanting to get their shot, most of them are going to be in favor. I can't imagine there are power, like the fact that there's any power non-Power 5 ADs who are like, yeah, I like this 4-team thing. It's working out great for us.
I could see them wanting an 8-team. But, man, 16, you don't need...
It's absurd. 12 is absurd.
Yeah, I think... because by the end of the season, these teams sort themselves out pretty well. And I don't think there was any argument over 4 last year. And, I mean, the only reason to do it... Well, there's 2 reasons. Make more money, preserve more jobs. That's pretty much it. And so I think that's... Obviously, if you're an athletic director and your team makes the playoffs, you got a better chance of keeping your job than one who doesn't. And...
Yeah.
You know, I can see, I guess I'm not surprised, but 281 says, I bet the ones who are always in aren't in that 80%. Absolutely. I think you could probably throw Notre Dame in that mix because when they're good enough, they're in.
Yep.
So, and 832 reminded me of his Purvis Short who learned to shoot with his father with the broom. That's who it was I saw practicing. That's where his teardrop shot came from. It was Purvis Short. Thank you for reminding me of that because, I was at a Rockets practice one day, and there was somebody with the broom, and he was shooting. So that's who it was. So,
hey, did you see this? Just in little breaking news, Dana White's explaining why UFC 249 is canceled. He says, "I got a call from as high up as you can go at Disney, asking me not to do this event on April 18th." So, obviously, ESPN and Disney, the UFC is. That's where they're getting their money from. He says, one thing you heard me say is how awesome this relationship is with ESPN. So when they call and ask me to not go, obviously, I'm going to respect it and not go. So that's good news. And he says he's going to be the first. They're going to be the first sport back on television, which we'll see. But yeah, he's saying that that Disney basically called it off for him.
Yeah, and that's probably the right thing to do. So, And obviously ESPN wants the programming. My God, they're suffering right now for programming. So if they come to you and say that, it's good that he's listening. And, you know, it won't be the first sport back because you've still got horse racing. So there. And you know what? They're going to start you watch them start televising Bosnian soccer.
Well,
I guarantee you it's going to happen.
Guess who's going to be playing in early May? My new favorite sports league. The Bundesliga.
They're going to come back?
Early May. That's what it says. Says they will be the first league, the first full-blown league to get back into the swing of things. Germany's top soccer league slated to return at the beginning of May, according to CEO Christian Seifert. Plans are being put in place for games to return at all 36 stadiums by the beginning of May, with the remaining 9 games of the schedule to be completed by the end of June. Bundesliga is planning on having no fans in the stands for all games. So that's the latest, it says.
I mean, that makes sense by then, I think. But I don't know how bad it is in Germany either. And you got guys from all over the world playing on those teams and whether or not they'll be able to get back. But maybe so. That would be something.
You want the target date for the MLS?
Yeah, give me the target date for MLS.
They're saying they want to start playing games by May 10th.
Okay.
Now,
I think that's I don't think that's realistic because, I mean, we're still looking at end of April as tentative target date, and you know that's going to get expanded again.
You know who's going to have a real advantage if they do that is I would say the Dynamo are going to have a huge advantage if they start May 10th because what team in the league is more experienced in playing in front of an empty stadium?
Well played, sir. Does it say when the EPL might come back?
Gotta dig down in the story a little further. It does not.
Well, can I praise the players a little bit from that league?
Sure. Yeah. So the EPL is expected to extend its suspension of play beyond April 30th. Which the league had previously floated as an option. So this article basically has the latest updates on what every major sports league is planning on doing. So it's got, it tells people when they're hoping that fights are going to happen. They've got estimates for dates, including like even the Canelo Triple G, September 12th, they're still hoping to do. Wilder Fury 3, early October estimate. So there's still, you know, a lot of stuff up in the air, but PGA Tour, May 21st estimate. NASCAR, May 24th. MLB, and obviously it's an estimate, end of May. Belmont Stakes, June 6th. That still hasn't been changed, apparently. IndyCar, June 6th. The AFL, June 11th. LPGA, June 18th. CFL, July 1st. The ATP and WTA, so tennis, July 13th. PGA Championship, they're rescheduled for August 6th to 9th. FedEx Cup Playoffs, August 13th to 7th, or September 7th. Indy 500, August 23rd is the rescheduled date. College Football Week 0, it says still no date change yet, August 29th, hopeful. It's basically got all these all the leagues and what they're doing, and then there's a lot that say TBD, postponed.
Right.
Those are the people who haven't come out, like the NBA, the NHL haven't really come out and said this is when we expect to be back because they don't yet.
Yeah, and it's going to be a lot harder for them because they got to get all those guys back up to speed, and then you know it goes straight to the playoffs, and then do you change your playoff format? I mean, I'd be surprised if either of those leagues come back. What I find fascinating about that, if they actually were to run the Belmont on June 6th, they've already moved the Derby to September, you'd be running the Triple Crown in reverse order this year.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, which would be completely weird. And, you know, I don't, and they'd be spaced way out, too, because it'd be September before you had the, so I don't think that's going to happen. I really, especially as bad as New York is, I can't see June 6th, them doing that and having a crowd there. But who knows? I mean, it changes so fast. That's why the speculation is, I mean, I guess those are all like the soonest they could start, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I wanted to praise the EPL players because when apparently the league, all the owners came to the players and asked them to take a pay cut. And they were basically, they said no. And the reason was they said they're more than happy to donate money to the workers for whatever they're asking for. But they did not want to take pay cuts so that it would just go to the owners.
Right.
And which I thought was pretty smart because
those owners are billionaires. Yeah.
Yeah. And they don't need it. So Wayne Rooney wrote a really good column about it and that, hey, we're happy to do this. We went there. And so the captains for all the Premier League teams formed a thing called Players Together, and they all make large joint donations to National Health Service England, which is a governing body there, and for frontline workers from the who are fighting the coronavirus, and then workers who have had to lose work because the games aren't going on, and it's all up. It's all they've all agreed that it's the amount of the pay cut they would have taken. So, props to those guys for taking charge of that and not just saying, "Yeah, we'll take a pay cut and trust you to do the right thing." It's like, no, we'll do it. But we got to make sure this money's going to people who need it,
right?
Not to your pockets. And I guarantee you, a lot of those guys would have just pocketed the money.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. So
I don't know about you. Is it pouring rain at your house?
No, it's not yet.
Oh, it is dumping here.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Doppler now. It looks like you're getting nuked. I'm probably about 10 minutes away from it.
So. Okay.
281 says, I know you complain about it, Fred, but the movie Parasite is pretty damn good. I've never complained about it because I haven't watched it.
I haven't watched it yet either. I want to watch it, though. I'm excited about it. I just haven't found the time
to
do it yet.
My daughter told me I should watch it, and I trust her judgment on this stuff, so at some point I'll get to it. But, you know, I'm not the president. I'm not this American movie should have won. I'm not that. I just... You know, I haven't been interested in it yet, and at some point I'll get to it. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will have the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
You're listening to The Blitz. The Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and I'm just going to do some weather speculation here because I went outside to see if I could see the storm coming. I'm going to say it's still about 20 minutes away. I kind of wish it was closer because there's about 50 people walking around the neighborhood right now, and I'd like some of them to get caught in it because, you know, I'm that kind of person.
Yeah, I'm just nervous about if I lose power or something like that because it's like it's ugly here.
Yeah. Well, that is the one thing we can't control if somebody loses power. So, Hockley Dan asked, did you guys happen to see that Wimbledon received $141 million paying a pandemic insurance policy for 18 years paid off? Yeah, I did.
Good for them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they were paying like $2 million a year on that thing.
Yep.
And I'm sure the insurance company's like, oh, this is good money.
Yeah.
So,
because they were worried about swine flu or something like that back in the day. And turns out they were smart to do it. And it was probably a tough check to cut every year. Oh, $2 million for the inch. Okay, fine. But it ended up being prudent.
Yeah, that was a lot of foresight in that because, I mean, this has never happened before like this. So Jiggly said, Fred, I knocked you out of the 8 p.m. free roll last night. Good job. I made a pretty good play, frankly. I had I was big blind with ace-queen, and there were like six limpers. So, the move there is to shove.
Did you start late?
He had pocket nuts. Yeah, I started like 8:06 or something.
Okay, because yeah, I was in it was one for of those a very things. Short time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Probably out before I got in.
Yeah, probably so. I flopped two pair, and somebody flopped top pair, and, you know, they it's not like they made a bad play. They assumed that they had the best of it, and they turned a second pair. So, yeah, I was an early exit.
Yeah, I mean, I like my play. That's a play I like to make with ace king, ace queen when there's a bunch of limpers, and I like this call with nines, and they held up. So, you know, because I mean, basically, I'll make that move with aces, kings, queens, ace king, ace queen. So, you know, he's got a chance that it's a race for the most part. You know, I mean, I didn't have a ton of chips, but I had enough to where that's not an easy call.
Oh, excuse me.
So, all right, 550. Good job.
That one slipped.
All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Well, some people still have a sense of humor about this thing. We go to New Zealand, where, you know, there's a lot of things that have been declared essential services. Well, according to Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, the Easter Bunny and Tooth Fairy are considered to be essential workers.
That makes sense.
She noted that it may be more difficult for them to visit every home this year, because they may potentially be quite busy at home with their own families. But just so you know, for everybody in New Zealand, the Easter Bunny will still be able to make an appearance because he or she is essential.
All right.
So, yeah, I mean, just somebody out, well, somebody out there still has a sense of humor, at least. There's that. And that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day, it's the gem of the day, the Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
St. Patrick says he's lost power in Cyprus already.
Oh.
So,
all right.
That doesn't bode well. I live in Conroe, and it's as nasty as a Bill O'Brien trade. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number. Somebody said, I've never been more wrong about an owner than I was Tillman Fertitta. Did y'all know he was this big of a scumbag when he bought the team? I listen, it's because he owns the Rockets, people are questioning his other businesses, which is natural. But, I mean, he's run his businesses the same way for a long time, which is why he's been successful. And I think if you work for him, you know that. And, you know, I mean, I don't know that that's scumbag level, but
yeah, he's sort of a he's not a universally hated or loved figure. He's very much there's certain people who think that he's good for the Rockets. There's certain people who think he's terrible for the Rockets. So it's kind of interesting because, I mean, really, the other owners in this town have always been, you know, people kind of knew where they stood, even less, you know. But when Drayton McLean was the owner of the Astros, everybody was like, oh, he's horrible. Jim Crane, I think, for the most part, has been looked at as a good owner. I think Bob McNair, maybe he may be one that was questioned a little bit, but because he brought football back, I think he was generally loved here. Cal McNair, let's just say, not a great start. But Tillman, no. You can find people who will say good and bad things about Tillman.
Well, and as a UH guy, I love what he's done for the University of Houston. I mean, he's put a lot of money into that place. He's really involved with everything over there, and I like what he's done. I know Dana had a bad year last year, but I love the hire. I love that he stepped up and paid Kelvin Sampson. But, you know, Rockets are a different animal and a different fan base, and I'm not as concerned about the Rockets as I am UH, but you know, I think people are mad because of some of these other businesses of his, but I think there's a lot of businesses like that that are doing the same things, and it's just that they're not high-profile people, so nobody mentions it. And listen, we, you know, all of our businesses have to make some hard decisions right now. It's just that simple. And, you know, I know we're doing our best to take care of people first, but, you know, we don't know how long this is going to last, and nobody does. So we just, I'm not going to be critical of a guy for making hard decisions or having his people make hard decisions, which is the more likely scenario. 281 says, center point worker here, probably going to be out a while if you lose power. Some people on the north side don't like to work in the rain. I don't blame them, but, you know, hopefully that won't happen. I'd like to have Hoffman around for another hour here, but, you know, worst comes to worst, we'll handle it. We got Nick Sciarra.
Hey, so what we might do, we don't have an interview right here in this next segment, do we?
No, not that I'm aware of.
I'm sending you right now, Nick, the full interview between Brett Okamoto and Dana White, and maybe we'll get some more answers on what's going on with the UFC 249. So we'll run that interview next.
Cool, that's a good idea. I know a lot of people are very interested in that. 713-780-ESPN's the number, 713-780-3776. We'll do that when we come back. And lots of other stuff to get to in the last hour, so if you're already stuck at home. And I just wanted to mention, if you're still able to hear us on the radio, but at some point you're not going to be able to, please check out the app or the streaming or Alexa. We've got all those, and you can listen to the show, and the clarity is great. And if you're just stuck at home, it's a terrific way to do it. So, you know, those a great way to listen to the show, and give it a try, especially if you're going to wind up being on lockdown here, because, you know, I don't think this is over, sadly. Derek asking, when will club applications be processed? Jerry is going to do that. If you're signing up for the charity tournament, once we confirm payment, then your application will be approved.
All right.
So, you know, that's it's that simple. We set up a separate club so that you could only get in if you pay. We had too many people on the other club were just going to jump in. And, you know, and that's, again, people can't follow simple instructions. So we have to kind of jump through hoops to make everything work. So, but you'll get an approval once your money's confirmed. Courtney's handling that end of it. She'll let Jerry know, and then Jerry will approve you, and you'll be ready to rock and roll. So this is why we're asking everybody to sign up as early as possible, because there's a lot of work going into it right now. All right, let's take that break. We'll be back. We'll hear that interview when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.